Are you tired of living? Is your life just a dread? Do you hate to face the world every day? Have you lost that zeal for life? Let's read in the Bible about a man that did. And three times in one chapter, it said, "And I know thou art a man of God." Boy, that's something to be said about a preacher. Wouldn't it be good if everybody would say about every pastor, "I know that he is a man of God." Praise God. I'd be called that anything I know. A man of God. Look at the scripture, though. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." In other words, she said, "I'm going to kill you before tomorrow." And boy, that scared him. Now, here's a man of God, but he got a little afraid. I'm telling you, he got afraid. Now, look at the next verse. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. In other words, he just said, "I'm taking off, brother," and he took off. And he went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Now, here's where he really got in trouble. As long as a Christian stays in the wilderness, he's in trouble. As long as God's people stayed in the wilderness, they were in trouble. Let me tell you this about my wife since she's here. She'll fuss at me, but I'm going to tell you. I like it. Maybe you won't like it. June the 4th, we was married 40 years. She said, "Son, I read in the Bible where Israel stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. And she said, if I don't get in Canaan next year, it's going to be all over. That's all there is to it." Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. You find in the Bible, it got in trouble. Anytime you find them in the wilderness, they just went round and around. Badly stay in the wilderness. You know that? Round and around. That's all they did. Just circle, 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 did nothing. All right, look at it. It said he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. Boy, that's a request. And said, "It's enough." He said, "I'm fed up. I'm fed up. It's enough. Oh, Lord. Now, oh, Lord, take away my life." He said, "God, just kill me. Just kill me." Now, notice what he said. "For I am not better than any of my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. I like that. Things will pick up, brother, if you get a touch of God on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Boy, every time I come to church, I want God to touch me.
Yeah.
Every time I get in a meeting, I want God to touch me.
Yeah.
Now, look what he says. "And he touched him and said to him, Rise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake bacon on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again." Now, here's something I want you to notice. "And the angel of the Lord came again and the second time, and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." He said, "Rise and eat." Now, I'm not going to read anymore, but the next verse says something. I want you to listen. The next verse says, "And he did eat meat, and it lasted for 40 days. I wouldn't mind paying $1.99 for meat if it lasts 40 days. Say amen. Praise God. You talk about something good. I mean, he ate it, and he went on that strength for 40 days. Boy, what a, I don't know what kind of beefsteak that was or what kind of meat that was, but that was surely good meat. But the Bible says, and he came and requested that God would take his life away. He said, "It's enough, God. I'm tired of living. I don't want to live anymore." But God did something for him, and I hope God will do something for you. If you came in this service and you feel dejected and let down, then life's a dread and a drudge. I trust that God will speak to your heart. I want you to be seated. Beloved, all of the house, if you will. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get right into the message. And I want you to pray that God will touch us and God will bless us. And this service will bring honor to the name of the Lord. Father, how we thank you for this church and the good pastor. And how we thank you for everyone that's here, the choir, the special singing. Thank you for these good preachers and laymen and the precious women, the girls and the boys that have gathered here for this service. Now, Lord, we've been blessed for this. the good singing. I'm glad, praise God, for Calvary. Oh, life begins at Calvary. And Lord, I'm glad for the life that you imparted in us, that eternal life that let us live forever and forever and forever. So I pray as we come to speak now that you'll speak to everyone, and all you do, we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak to you on the subject, are you tired of being in this world? Now, I'm not tired. I love living. I'm glad ever since I met the Lord, I've enjoyed life. And if you have Him, you have life. And he that has not the Son hath not life. That's what the book says. But here's a picture of a man named Elijah. And the Bible said he was a Tishbite. And Elijah, that mountain-minded man, the scripture said, went out a day's journey in verse 4. And when he went to the wilderness, he got in the wrong place. He's already discouraged and down, and he wanted to give up. Have you ever felt like giving up? Have you ever felt like, why going on? I wish I could die and go to heaven. But now, here's Elijah, and the Bible said he went a day's journey, and he said, take my life, God, I'm tired of living. Now, by way of introduction, in that same chapter, Elijah went to three places, and I want you to see those three places. First of all, the Bible said he sat down under a juniper tree. That's a place that you have no business being. If you ever get to that place, mister, you have self-pity, and you stand around and say, oh, Lord, they don't treat me right, and I'm not getting along good. And, you know, he got so discouraged that he sat down on that juniper tree, and the Bible said he requested that he might die. Brother, you're in bad shape when you want to die. There's nothing to live for. And here's a man named Elijah. And the first place he went, he sat down under that juniper tree. If you're there tonight, get up and let's go for Jesus. You have no business sitting down on the juniper tree. The second place he went was a cave. And the Bible said he crawled up in that cave. Now, I do not have time to explain this, but any time you read the word cave, C-A-V-E, in the Word of God, listen to me, you'll always find backsliders around the cave. You'll find people out of fellowship with God. And Elijah got in, and the Bible said he sat under the fig, or under the juniper tree, but the Bible said he lodged in a cave. And when he lodged in that cave, God said, Elijah, what doest thou here? Get out of that place and come, and I'll show you where you ought to be. And Elijah, we see him lodging in a cave. We see him sitting under a juniper tree. But then the Lord said, get up, arise, and come upon the mountain. And I want you to stand on the side of that mountain. So the first thing we see, he sat, and then he lodged. And then God said, get up, Elijah, and stand on the side of this mountain. And as he stood there, the Lord passed by. I want to tell you, that's the greatest time that you'll ever have. It's when the Lord passes by. I'm glad he passed by me. And already tonight, he's passed by me. And what a blessing. It says, the Lord passed by. How did he pass by? Notice what the book says. It said, first of all, there was a strong wind. I mean, the wind blew, and the mountains trembled, and the rocks did rend. But God wasn't in that strong wind. And then the scripture says, this is what it says. It said there was an earthquake. And I tell you, when I read about the one down in Mexico, I thought about the hundreds that had been killed because the earth had convulsions. And there was an earthquake. But God said, I wasn't in that earthquake. And then the scripture said, a ball of fire came sailing by old Elijah. But God said, I'm not in the fire. But as Elijah stood there, after the strong wind, after the earthquake, after the fire, God leaned over the battlements of heaven and said, Elijah, I want to talk to you in a still small voice. I want to tell you, the Bible said the Lord was in the still small voice. But I believe that Elijah heard more than just instructions. Now, if you'll go back to the beginning where the Bible introduces Elijah, he comes on the scene. scene just like that. He popped up out of nowhere, and a good preacher will pop up anytime at any place. And brother, a good preacher will be there, mister. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elisha came to the house of Jezebel and Ahab. He just popped up and he had a message. You know what it was? The Lord God of heaven liveth. The Lord God of Israel liveth. He said, I've got a living God. But somewhere between that first verse and over here where he stood on that mountain and the fire came and the earthquake came and the Bible said the wind blew, he lost that message. But I believe in that still small voice that God said, Elijah, the Lord God of Israel is still alive. And that's the message he had. I want to say to you, if you have a living God, nobody wants a dead God. I'm glad the one I serve's alive. That old bird over there, even university several years ago, said that God died. Lady called me and said, did he? I said, he might have his God, but mine's not even feeling bad. Say amen. I'm glad he lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Praise God. If your message that you've heard from heaven, because he lives, that was the message I believe God whispered in his ear. He said, I'm alive and doing well. And you tell him the Lord God of Israel liveth. And with that in mind, I'm going to show you how Elijah proved that three ways. And then we'll go home. First of all, he proved it by the prayers he lived. I want to tell you, and the prayers he made, and the prayers he prayed. Let me tell you, mister, when Elijah prayed, they knew that God was alive. When Elijah prayed, brother, something happened. Now, sometimes you pray, and you pray, and nothing seems to happen. But when old Elijah prayed, everybody knew that he was in contact with heaven, and the God of Israel was still alive. I want to tell you, we ought to be such fervent prayer warriors until people that look at our lives and say, when he prays or when she prays, something happens. Praise God. They get an answer. And what a blessing. Elijah proved that his God was living by the prayers he prayed. Let me show you three prayers and we'll go on. Prayer number one is in 1 Kings chapter 18. The Bible said in the prophets of Baal had cried all day and get themselves and cried, Baal, let the fire fall. Old Elijah walked over and said, boy, scoot over. I've heard all of this. I need to hear. And in chapter 18, verse 45, the Bible said Elijah prayed, let the fire fall. And the next verse says, then the fire of the Lord fell. I like that kind of answer, don't you? The Bible said he prayed, and then the fire of the Lord fell. It didn't wait till the next day. They said, he serves a living God. Did you hear him say fire? And the Lord sent it down. The Lord God of Israel liveth. First of all, by the prayers he prayed, he proved that his God was alive. Would they be afraid of your prayers? Or would they be knocking on your door if somebody had cancer or somebody was sick and they needed prayer? Do you demonstrate? Are you listening by your prayers that your God's a living? And number two, he proved it on Carmel. Number two, the Bible said he proved it at the palace of Ahab and Jezebel. He walked in and said, let me tell you, I prayed. That says in James 5, and he prayed that it might not rain. And he went over there to Jezebel's house and Ahab's house, and he said, bless God tonight, it's not going to rain. And for 3.5 years, it's dry as cracker juice. Say amen. Brother, I want to tell you, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And for 3.5 years, every time they said rain, they said, God's alive. Because Elijah prayed and said it wouldn't rain, and it's not going to rain. I want you to know he proved by the prayer that he prayed that his God was alive. Imagine old Jezebel said when he stood there and stuck his finger in her nose and said, honey, it ain't going to rain around your house for 3.5 years. I imagine she said, well, we'll see about that. He said, you'll be looking me up when the creeks go dry and the grass withers and it gets dry around here. Oh, let me tell you something. I know some Baptist churches about that dry. The creeks are dry. Bless God, the grass is burned up and you can't find any refreshment. I like to get out in the meadows and I like to put my feet in the cool, cool waters. But the Elijah proved his God was alive by the prayers he prayed. James 5 also said he proved his God was alive. He prayed again and the heavens gave rain. Hallelujah. He went up there and he said, I want to tell you, it's going to rain, servant. Said, you go down and look at the sea and you come back and it's going to rain. And that servant went down and looked at the sea and he ran back and he said, I don't see a cloud in the sky. Elijah said, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Go 7 times. You've got to go God's number, mister. And that servant went 6 times, came back and saw nothing. But when he came back the 7th time, he said, you better get your umbrellas. Bless God, you better get something that you can get under. There's going to be a gully wash around here like you haven't seen. He said there's a crowd the size of a man's hand rising up out of the sea. Do you know whose hand that was? That was the hand of the God that lived. I want to tell you, it was rising up out of the sea. And he came back and he said that the clouds are getting thick and the sky's getting dark. And the Bible said the heavens gave forth rain. I want to tell you, Mr. Elijah, when he prayed, he made people take notice because he proved by his prayers that his God was alive. I had one friend down in Atlanta could pray. I mean pray. Came to me one time, the only man I knew that had calluses on his knees for praying. His name was Cam Thompson. And he said to me, he said, your wife takes your sons to a Christian school all the way across town. And he said, Brother Mays, I'm a missionary of prayer. And he said, would you let your wife pick up my girl and take her across town? And what would you charge me? And I talked to Dodd, so here's what I told Cam Thompson. I said, I'm going to charge you a lot. He said, what are you going to charge me? I said, I'm going to charge you 1 hour a week praying. I said, if you'll just pray for me 1 hour a week, we'll pick your children up, take them to school, bring them back. I said, I believe that'll be the best pay that I could ever have. I want to tell you, for 1 hour every week, Cam Thompson said he prayed for me. I'm glad. Oh, are you listening? You can prove to this world that your God's living by your prayer life. Do you get an answer? Do you hear from heaven? Have you been blessed? I want to tell you, I went to North Carolina State University. I had an English professor named Red Wynn. In fact, he wrote the English book for State, for Carolina, for Wake Forest. And he was a smart man, and every once in a while he'd get off on religion. And I wasn't saved. I remember one day in there, Red Wynn said, students, he said, I want to ask you a question. Is prayer real, or is it just a figure of imagination? And he started trying to tell that prayer was just a fantasy or something. And I wasn't even saved, and I raised my hand. And Mr. Wynn said, yes, Mr. Jackson, do you know anything about prayer? I said, not for myself. But you say there's nothing to prayer. These boys in this universe say there's nothing to prayer. I said, I've been at home when I was a little boy, and the meal barrel would get empty. And I said, we didn't have anything to eat. And I said, my mother would go out to the old, you call it utility house, we call it junk house. Say amen right there. And I said, my mother would go out to that old junk house and get on her knees. And after about an hour, she'd come back in smiling and crying and waving that handkerchief and singing, I've just heard from heaven and it's all right now. I said, praise God, there's a biscuit on the table. Hallelujah. I said, Mr. Wynn, I don't know what you think about prayer, but you explain that. And Mr. Wynn looked at me and said, I can't. I said, I can't either. All I know is when she comes back from that prayer meeting, praise God, she proves that God is alive And I said to Ken Thompson, I want you to prove. Oh, you pray for me a week. And I 1 hour a week, and that's all we'll charge you, and we'll take your child or your children. I believe you had two girls. My wife back here can tell you. But I remember one time he told me a story that thrilled me. He said, Mays, never pray for $10 when you don't need but $9. And I said, Mr. Thompson, I like a little nest egg, glory to God. Why don't give one more? Now, he said, I said, don't pray. If you need $8, don't pray for $9. I said, well, don't you like to have just a little on the side? He said, that ain't faith. He said a few weeks ago, and by the way, over there on Ponce de Leon in the land, they had to build him a shelter, a soundproof shelter. He disturbed the neighbors praying all night. Glory to God, wouldn't you like to have that? And when he died, that liberal constitution said, a praying man has died, had calluses on his knees from holy prayer. But let me tell you what he told me. He said, I got up, preacher, a few weeks ago, and I came out on the front porch and said, it seemed like in my heart, I heard a cry, you give $68 to missions today. And he said, Lord, I don't have a nickel. I gave it all yesterday. And he said, it seemed like God said, Kemp, give $68 to missions. He said, I sat on a porch down on Ponce de Leon, and I saw a man pass me, and I didn't recognize him, but he went down to Sears and Roebuck to pay a bill. And he walked in, and he said to the lady, how much do I owe? She said, oh, you're paid. You're paid, you're paid. But your payments were $68, but you're paid. He said, all right, I'll take this money back. I know a missionary that needs it. And he said, you know, Brother Mays, he stopped in front of my house coming back. And he had that $68 wrapped up in his hand. And he walked up and said, Brother Camp, God sent me by here to give you an offering. Camp said, would you let me tell you how much it is? And he said, oh, my. You don't know how much it is. I've got to make the payment. He said, if you obey the Holy Ghost, I know how much it is. And Camp Thompson said, it's $68. That man dropped that money and said, Lord, have mercy. I didn't know it. Brother, let me say something to you. I'm glad. You can prove that your God's living by the prayers that you pray. If you get an answer from heaven, so first of all, Elijah proved it by the prayers that he prayed. Secondly, he proved it by the places he went. If you'll turn in your Bible, you'll find in one chapter, chapter 17 of 1 Kings, he went 3 places. And every time he stopped, praise God, he proved that his God was still living. And may I say something to you tonight? I don't believe in accidents with God's people. I believe the steps of the Lord are the good men are ordered of God. I don't believe in any accidents with God's children. I don't believe in 4-leaf clovers and rabbit's feet. Say amen. God, you don't get along with them out here living on with a rabbit's foot. I was a preacher down here at Calvary Baptist Church years ago in Columbus. Dr. Glaze says, Pastor, one of them old big churches, somebody said, well, how'd you preach down there? I don't have but one speed. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Say amen. Praise God, that's all I have. I was a preacher for Brother Dr. Glaze. And while I was a preacher, he had the smartest little old boy in the front row I've ever seen. After every service, he'd come up and ask me a question. I'm not going into all the detail. But he came up to me. You know what he said? He said, this is a rabbit's foot. He said, rub it. I said, I'm not going to rub it. He said, it'll bring you good luck. I said, really? I said, I'm not going to rub it. He said, well, rub it and you can preach better. I said, give it here, I'll eat it, bless God, if I can preach better. And I'm not going to rub it. And you know what he said? That little boy looked me up in the face and he said, it brings me good luck. I said, honey, wait a minute. Look at it. Look at it close now. And he said, why? I said, the rabbit had 4. It didn't do him any good. Say amen. Right? And brother, we don't have to go by luck, mister. Thank God we don't have to go by luck. I'm glad the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. When my wife and I were married, we knelt, and a lady sang that song, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. I want to tell you, mister, whatever you do, you need the leadership of God. You need the Holy Spirit to guide you. You need Jesus to govern your life. And it's a blessing, brother. But you say, preacher, how you say that he proved it by the places he went? He went 3 places. First, he went by brook. Secondly, he went to a barrel. And thirdly, he went to a boy. And all three of those places he proved that God was still living. I'm glad I can tell you tonight, he lives, he lives. Now listen to what the Bible says. God said to him in 1 Kings 17, go down to the brook by Jordan. And the brook's name is Cherith. Now, there were many brooks that name, but he said, you go to the one by Jordan. That's the only place I'm going to feed you. That's the only place I'm going to bless you. And I want to tell you, if you get in that place, God's going to take care of you. A fellow said to me down the Atlanta, said, there's going to be a famine, and there won't be but one cracker left. Said, what are you going to do? I said, I'll be on one end nibbling, brother. Say amen. Praise God. God's going to take care of you, and God's going to take care of me when we're there where God can use us. And so we find him there by the brooks. And the Bible said he saw miracles every day. He just enjoyed that good brook. And twice, and by the way, in the Bible, you don't eat but twice a day. That's right. You'll never find they ate but twice a day. I beat that. I eat one time all day long. Say amen right there. But let me tell you something. In the Bible, they never eat three times. They never eat one time. They always eat twice a day in the Bible. And here's the man. He sat there. He'd get up. He'd say, now it's breakfast time. And then here's some flocking wings. And boy, God had sent some colored waiters from heaven. And they brought bread and flesh in the morning. And they brought bread and flesh in the evening. And praise the Lord, what a blessing it is to know that Elijah proved that his God was living by the place where he was, by the brook. Now, I could stay there a long time. But the brook dried up. And, oh, let me tell you something. I found out this a long time ago. I'm not going to stay around a dry brook. I've heard people say, well, brother, my church is dry. Get out of the backslidden thing and get over where you can feel God and enjoy God and enjoy the blessings of God. And quit hanging around a dry brook, brother. That is what the book says. And God said, Elijah, that thing's dry. Go to Zarephath. And if I had time, I'd show you. If you take your maps and Zarephath is the jumping off place, and there's having a famine up there. What about sending a preacher up there? And it was the jumping off place, and there's having a famine. But God said, a widow's picking up sticks, and I'm going to command her to feed you. And old Elijah just took off to Zarephath. And when he got there, he met that little widow, and she had a little old boy. And he is so skinny, he didn't have but one stripe in his pajamas. Say amen right there. The Bible said, you say, how do you know he's skinny? Look what the Bible said. The Bible said, she said, we've got one little handful of meal. We shall eat it and then die. Boy, they were, you talk about malnutrition. You talk about starvation. That old widow said, we've already joined the obituary club. I know some Baptist, bless God, that's been a member of the obituary club a long time. But I'm glad, praise God, I belong to the resurrection and the high love. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. What's this? I want to show you something. He walked up and said, tapped his heel and said, God sent me here. She said, are you sure God sent you? Said, I haven't got but a handful of meal in the barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And she said, it's just enough for me and my little boy. And it's all over, brother. Elijah clapped his heels together and said, sister, go in there, bless God. Make me a little cake, a piece of bread, and then make one for you. And then make one for your little boy. And she said, all right, brother. And she went in there and reached down in that barrel. And when she reached down and got a handful, her eyes got big, and she said, Lord have mercy. God put two handfuls back in, and every time she'd reach down get a handful, God had put two more handfuls in, and she couldn't find the bottom of that barrel. Let me tell you something, when you're there and you prove that your God's living by the place where you go, I want to tell you, you'll never find the bottom of that barrel. I never will forget the first time I went to the Holy Land. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to bring me a barrel back. And you say, well, what if you'd have found that barrel? I never would have had to buy another loaf of bread. Praise God. Just reach down there. And so he proved it. First by a brook, Brook Cherith, down by the Jordan. And then he proved it. Secondly, up at a barrel in Zarephath. And then he proved it by a little boy. The widow's son died. And she went frantic. And she said, if a man of God, oh, can he do any good? My boy's dead. His soul is such as one. He's dead. His spirit's gone. And Elijah walked in there, and he said, my God lives. And she said, but you're too late, brother. You know what Elijah did? He picked up that little boy in his arms, carried him up in the loft, laid him down and said, as sure as the Lord God of Israel liveth. Woo! I like this. He leaned over him and breathed 3 times. And breath came back into that little boy. And he took him back downstairs. And he said, Mother, he's hungry. Give him something to eat. Praise the Lord. You say, what happened? He proved by the places where he went that God was alive. After God whispered and said, Elijah, I wasn't in the fire. I wasn't in the earthquake. I wasn't in the wind. But I'm in the still, small voice. I want to remind you that I'm still alive. And so Elijah proved it by the prayers that he prayed, by the places that he went. Now, number 3, and I'll close. He proved it by public demonstration. He wasn't ashamed to get up and say, look what my God can do. You know why God don't do more for me and you? We want to do it in the corner. We want to hide around and see if God can do it. Bless God, quit doubting and say, come on out here, folks. I'm going to pray and God's going to do it. Hey, folks, God's word says that settles it and God's going to do it. You say, Brother Mays, how did he prove that his God was living? A public demonstration. He called them all together. And he did 3 things. And when I get through this, I'll close. First of all, he exposed the error. Oh, hear me. We need to expose error in the house of God when it creeps in. We need to expose error out here when it's on the radio or on television. We need to expose the error. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to prove who's alive. You say that Baal's alive, and I say that God's alive. Let's see. He said, folks, look on. So he exposed that crowd. And after they couldn't get Baal to answer, he said, let me have him. I tell you, I'll find that my God's living. And he prayed about 2 minutes and a half, 63 words. And when he got through, the Bible said the fire of the Lord fell. Oh, he exposed Baal. And they said, Baal's dead. And Israel's God's alive. They said, Baal is dead. And Baal can't answer prayer. But our God lives in Israel. Oh, listen to me. By exposing error. Secondly, he had public demonstration by explaining the truth. God help me to never preach a sermon that I don't explain the truth of salvation. You say, what did Elijah do? He said, let's shed some blood and let's take an altar, a type of the cross and a type of the blood. And he said, let's offer a sacrifice. He was explaining the truth. And God help a preacher that bypasses the blood and bypasses the cross and bypasses the way of salvation. There are a lot of people in Rome, Georgia, that don't know the way of salvation. They think it's taking a preacher's hand, being baptized. And they don't know the explaining of the truth of God. Elijah said, when I get through, you'll know, praise God. He said, I'm going to shed blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Thank God for the blood tonight. The blood has never lost its power. And the blood is still working. I had an old granddaddy. He was wonderful. Told you about him last night. He'd come sit on the front row and holler, preach! And I preached and my tongue was slapped in my belt buckle. But when he was dying, I went in his room and I said, Granddad, I got to go preach tonight. Flying over there and he said, go ahead, boy. I said, I want to pray with you. Pam, you're like this. He's bald-headed. Say, man. He's bald-headed. That's where I got mine from. That's the reason I didn't want to preach. Every preacher I've ever seen is fat and bald-headed. The Lord said, you go ahead and preach, and I'll accommodate you and give you both. Say amen. But he is there in the room, and I walk in to Miss Staten, the nursery. I said, Miss Staten, how are you today? She said, Mays, he's my teacher. Oh, I said, he's my God. I leaned over him, and I said, Granddaddy. I said, I want to pray with him. I'm going to preach. Pray for me. Boy, I got down over him and prayed, and then I went on to preach that night. When I got back, the light was out in this room. I knew he'd died. I walked in and I said to the lady at the desk, I said, Mr. Justice, what time did he die? Oh, she said, you're the preacher boy, the grandson. Wait a minute, the nurse is in leave. Said he died about 7:40. But she wants to tell you something. I said, wonderful. I went in. She said, "Preacher, let's go back in the room. They've already made up the bed and they've removed your granddaddy. But I want to tell you what happened when he started to die." She said, "We had all of that familiar on him and he's trying to breathe." And said, "He raised up just a little and said, 'Oh, the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses white as snow. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses white as snow.'" I said, "That's a good way to leave here. Praise God. I want to tell you, oh, the precious blood of Jesus." And then she said something. Now, y'all won't believe this, but I believe it. And she said, "He said, 'Jesus, turn his sweet face this way.'" And she said, "I could see Jesus over there looking at your granddaddy." I said, "Glory to God, I believe I see him too. Praise God." Oh, you say, "Brother Mays, are you listening? As sure as there's a God in heaven, exposed error. Explain the truth. And then I like this too. He expected the blessing." Glory to God. He didn't go to church and bring a thimble, saying, "I'm getting them." He brought a washtub, but he came to church. Say amen. Thank God. He said, "I'm going to get something in the house of God, and God's going to bless me, and I'm going to enjoy it." He went expecting. And when he prayed, he knew that God was going to bless him. And when he walked, he knew that God was going to walk with him. And he knew that when he stood, that God was going to stand with him. And he knew when he needed a blessing, that God was going to bless him. He expected a blessing. Every time I go to church, I expect a blessing. Oh, I'm so glad. We had a good time this morning. Wasn't many of us here, but we had a good time. Oh, Lord, I say, we just enjoyed the blessing of these kids this morning. Bless him. I expected it when I came in. I expected God to bless us tonight. And thank God, he's blessed my soul. Elijah proved by public demonstration. He said, "My God's going to do just what he said." He said, "I'm expecting him to. I'm expecting the blessings." Folks, you can tell this old gainsaying, this wicked world, this unbelieving world, that your God's alive and you're expecting the blessings of God to be upon you. Let me tell you something. A couple of things I'm going. I've got to tell you this while my wife's here. She thinks wrong of me. But I told her, they said I died twice, and I don't believe that. But when I got home, I said to my wife, I said, "I want to tell you something. I went down to the river, and I preached all of my life that I'd hear angels, and I'd see a covey coming after me," and I said, "Doc, I didn't hear anything, and I didn't see anything." And you know what she said? She's sitting right back there. You know what she said? "Well, I could have told you that before you went down there." I said, "Why?" She said, "You get all your blessings here, and you had it so easy here." Said, "When you die, they won't even send a committee after you." That's what she said. Oh, you hear me? Hear me? We expect a blessing. We expect a blessing. And Elijah expected God's blessing. Public demonstration. Let me give you this now, close. I told you last night something happened in our church. Now, my pastor didn't believe it. Or maybe it's not before. The deacons didn't believe it. I believe it. I want to tell you something else that I heard. Nobody believes it, but I believe it. He said years ago, a young man, this guy, getting ready to go to Africa to be missionaries. He said she told him before they left, said, "Now, my little baby's small. And I don't mind going with you back there in that dark place. But you tell me that God has never let you down, that whatever you expected him to do, he'd do. Now, I don't care if I die. I don't care if you die, but my baby, you're going to expect God to bless that baby." And he said, "Honey, you can expect God to meet your baby's needs." So they went down to South Africa and studied for 2 years in the language school, and then up the river they went. He got to the little place where he's going to preach. They helped him build a little hut from the living. And about a year and a half after he'd been there, oh, she was discouraged. She was tired. The little boy took jungle fever. And the little boy's lips broke out. And the little boy broke out in a sweat. And she put him in bed. She called her husband and said, "Come here. Where's God? Where's God?" He said, "I could expect him to touch my boy." And he said, "Honey, it's 100 miles down the river to where we can find a doctor and medicine. Honey, it's 100 miles. But I believe that God will do what I expect him to do. He said he'll take care of my 4 or 5 cousins. He said, I'll be back in a minute. That old missionary walked out there and closed that door and fell down on his knees. And that young man looked up, lifted those hands and said, God, send me somebody. Oh, God, not for my sake, but God, I told my wife she could expect you to take care of that young man. He's dying. I could see death already in his eyes. And he said he looked up and there was a boat coming. And on that boat were several men. And when that boat docked and they got off, there's some man that had a little black bag. And he said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord. It's easy to believe this part. Here's where it gets hard to believe. The doctor went in the teeth, heard the little hut, examined the boy, and he said, there's no use. He said, he's burning up with fever. I've got to have ice. I've got to have ice. I've got to have ice. And it's 100 miles down the path.
Down the river to us!
And said, if we pick up your little boy and start down the river, he'll die before we get 10 miles. I got to have ice. And missionary said, wait a minute. He closed the door and he went out and fell on his knees. And they say it never had been that way in Africa. Never has since. Never before. But he raised those hands and he said, God, I need ice. And they said for around 500 feet around that little hut, it got black. And the thunder rolled. And hailstones fell out of heaven as big as hen eggs. And he ran in and said, give me some buckets. We've got some ice that's coming down from heaven. Well, you say, Brother Mays, I'm glad that he's back to God. And God gave the blessing that he needed. Aren't you glad that God always, I'm glad he lives. Every head bowed right here. Elijah the man that they called a man of God. Elijah. I'm going to ask the pastor's daughter, bless her heart, if you've come, and our brother to bounce the song. You've been good again to listen tonight. Oh, how wonderful the people are here at this church. Oh, I told Brother Jack, they listen wonderfully, and then the visitors the same, and I thank God, and I want to preach the word and help you if I can. Oh, the word of God. How precious the word of God is. I'm glad he lives. He lives. He said, I'm he that was dead, but am alive forevermore. And because he lives, Mother, you can face tomorrow. And because he lives, Daddy, you can face tomorrow. And because he lives, young boy and girl, you can face tomorrow. That's what I believe the Lord whispered to Elijah on that mountain. He said, son, you've gotten tired of living. You know why? You thought I was dead, but I want to tell you, has the Lord God of Israel lived? Has God lived? Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? He lived. Now you listen while she plays just softly one stanza, and then we'll continue. God bless you. Oh, don't you like that? Hallelujah. Amen. And he will give you. Oh, I don't know what you need this tonight, but he'll give it to you. He'll give you. Oh, he'll give you. I had a need today. Let me tell you what she placed. They placed on this to me. And the Lord touched me. I had a need. God touched me. I said, Lord, I'll tell him about it tonight. I'll tell him about it tonight. Lord, I'll not be ashamed of what you did. And I don't know what your need is tonight. But thank God, if you'll do as I did, I got out on my knees. And I said, Lord, you know my need. And God met my need. And God's going to meet your need here tonight. I wonder how many folks here can say, preacher, thank God I'm saved and born again on my way to the city of God. Lift up your hand, let me see it. If you know everything's right, boy, that's wonderful. Thank you. God bless you. What a wonderful sight that is. Now you can take your hands down. Secondly, how many of you say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but God spoke to me tonight. I need to draw nigh to God. Brother Mays, I need to draw nigh to God.
need to draw nigh to God. But you raise that hand, let me pray for you, Christian. Lift it up, then you take it down. God bless you. 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 Amen. Oh, precious souls. Let me say something tonight. I can always tell a church that prays and a church that believes God. The best saints will raise their hands. The best saints come to the altar. You don't believe that, but I've been in this thing long enough. I know they're tender. Oh, they want to draw nigh to God. The best saints are the ones that raise their hands a while ago, I'll guarantee you. Now, I haven't asked Brother Jack a thing, and I'm not going to ask him, but I'll guarantee you some of the best Christians he's got. Oh, they hunger to get a little closer to God. Here's another. Say, preacher, I'm saved, but there's something just not right. I want you to pray for me. Lift up that hand, let me see it. Lift it up, God bless you. Anybody else, visitor, church member, God bless you. God bless you. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Our Father, I pray you'll touch these. Oh, God, I pray that you said in your word, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and these are hungry and these are thirsty. May they be filled tonight. And now, in just a moment, I'm going to close this prayer. I want these that raise their hands to come to the altar. Anybody else that needs to come. But there may be somebody lost on your way to hell tonight. You may be here tonight and you say, preacher, I don't know God. I don't know God. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. I'm lost. Would you lift up that hand to me, see it? Just lift it up there tonight. If you've been running from God, if you're tired and weary and lost, lift up your hand. Let me see this. Our Father, I close this prayer by beseeching you.